Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Self-Reacquaintance. I'm happy to have you back here again. Before we even start, I just want to take a moment to thank all of you, to thank you for your support, the downloads, thank you for sharing the podcast with your loved ones, and most importantly, thank you for letting me know that you are part of my community. You know, thank you for that feedback. Thank you for giving me positive feedback, because that helps or confirms to me again that I am indeed on the right track. So thank you. Secondly, I am of course your host, Zanele Mkhunu. God gave me today's topic a few weeks ago, but then I thought maybe it was not yet time because I later then got other topics to speak on, which I felt should come before this one. So last night I was at the all-night prayer at church. We came back this morning and a lot happened there. And again, I almost changed today's topic because of that. So I can speak on one of the important areas in our walk as children of God, being kind. All of a sudden, had all these things to say, so much to say about just being kind, coming from one of the speakers last night or in the early hours of today. But this morning, I then decided, no man, I can't shelve this topic again. Let me just release it. Let me do it and just release it. So I reverted to the topic about one of the most inevitable aspects of life, transitions. The topic is navigating transitions. So unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, change is part of life. From the beginning of time, we experience change or changes. So we experience or we move from one season to another, sometimes by choice. However, sometimes the change comes unexpectedly. And it's these transitions where we can feel the most vulnerable, but also experience the most growth. Transitions are often not comfortable, and I don't think they are supposed to be or they are meant to be. I think they are supposed to be uncomfortable. Why? Someone may ask. Because number one, you are moving from what you know and are comfortable with to the unknown. Transitions in life are those moments of change. This can be external events like giving birth, graduating, getting married, or moving to a new place or changing jobs, you know. Transitions can also be internal. The internal type of transitions can be the shifts in your faith or personal beliefs, for example. Regardless of whether they are external or internal, transitions have the power to disrupt our lives for better or for worse. So, according to psychological research, transitions are considered life-changing events. So, these are big events, né? Often categorized under stressors. The Holmes Rea Stress Inventory ranks life events based on the level of stress they cause. It says the major transitions, such as loss of a loved one, giving birth, or marriage, they rank very high because they bring uncertainty. And then the uncertainty and disruption caused by these changes can lead to stress or anxiety, and in some cases, depression or other forms of mental instability. However, remember in one episode where I said you must always look for the silver lining. It is the same even with transitions. So they are not all bad. They are not all bad. You look for the silver lining when you are faced with transitions. I said when I started that they offer the opportunity for growth, learning, and self-reinvention. A study from Harvard Business Review shows that people or individuals who approach transitions with a growth mindset, believing that they can learn, they tend to experience a higher level of satisfaction and resilience. So transitions push us to step out of our comfort zones, and very importantly, they help us to discover new strengths, our new perspectives, and new opportunities. So in my many years of life, because I'm old. I've also experienced different seasons or different moments of transitions at various stages. So when I gave birth, for example, or before we even get to that, when I was still pregnant, when I was carrying my baby in my tummy for 9 months, for the first time especially, there were a lot of changes in my body, hormones, and I experienced heightened emotions. So while I was excited about meeting this new person, I was also so stressed about whether or not I'd be good enough or if I'd be a good mom to them. There was definitely a shift, and the changes were the type of changes that I had never expected or imagined. Now, later than the baby arrives, when the baby was born, the transition suddenly moved from me just being a woman, just being a wife or a daughter. I suddenly became someone's mom, and an entire mom. So my identity changed. I felt anxious about all this because with all the research and just talking to my mom and other women that I trust, also, I was the first out of my siblings. I was the first to have a child at home. So I think I put a lot of pressure on myself to be seen as a great mom, but we are not there now. So as I was saying, with all that preparation and research, when the baby arrived, I still felt lost. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I needed to familiarize myself and navigate the new environment, this new role. At the same time, I missed the familiarity of my old self, the self that didn't have such a huge responsibility. I questioned my ability to be a mom. There would be times when the baby would just cry to a point where I would put him down and join him and just cry along with him because I just didn't know what he wanted. I made sure that he was well fed, he was very clean, he was wearing comfortable clothes and diapers, but this baby would cry. So I also thank God that my later babies didn't cry as much. They were just chilled. They were chilled kids, and I enjoyed them. But my firstborn, yeah. So going back to the story. So over time, I realized that I needed to approach this transition with an open mind. And I found that actually it presented new opportunities for growth. Learning and understanding myself and how I deal with stress and how I would intuitively take the lead in how he was to be raised and handled. So I also became a better leader, you see. And it also gave me a different perspective of how I viewed the world in general. And the big one for me in being a mom was the personal fulfillment, the type of fulfillment that I hadn't experienced before. So in psychology, they talk of matrescence. This is a developmental stage that women go through when they become mothers. It comprises those physical, psychological, and emotional changes that come after the birth of a child. This is why some mothers even talk about postpartum depression, because they experience a wave of different emotions and changes all at the same time, and they don't know how to deal with them. So please, please be kind to mothers. Be kind, especially to new mothers, especially to first-time mothers. Be kind and offer support. In short, transitions disrupt us, but they also help us grow. They are the bridges that stand between who we are now and where we are or who we are becoming. So these bridges need to be crossed. Fortunately or unfortunately, as I said earlier, they need to be crossed. Transitions obviously are or can be deeply unsettling and very uncomfortable. I showed you in the story that I shared about giving birth that they often involve leaving behind something familiar. Something can be anything. Something can be your identity, your job, the place that you know, or even a relationship that you've been in. So the sense of loss can trigger many different feelings of anxiety or fear or insecurity. The change is inherently uncomfortable, obviously. And as human beings, we tend to resist uncertainty because it makes us feel out of control. We don't like being out of control, you know. It's new. It's different. It's uncomfortable. So the emotions we experience when facing transitions can weigh heavily on us and lead to burnout. They also lead to burnout, especially if we try to avoid or resist them, if we are trying to resist the change rather than confronting it. So my two cents advice to you, my community, is that don't try to run away from it. Don't try to delay the transitions. They are inevitable. They are going to happen. So just accept, confront, deal, and grow. So throughout the podcast, you would have seen now that I've been trying to show you the contrast between the negative and the positive impact transitions have on us. So I just spoke now about the negative impact, right? Now, on the flip side, transitions offer great opportunities for growth. They offer a chance to reevaluate our priorities, to shed old habits and embrace new experiences. They lead to personal development, really, and new insights and deeper understanding of ourselves. We are still on that topic of self-reacquaintance, so this is very important. So life transitions like failure, the topic for one of the episodes, I think our third episode, where we were talking about our failure with our relationship with failure. Life transitions forces us to confront challenges and adapt to new realities, which can lead to increased resilience and self-confidence. Over time, we can develop a greater sense of agency and self-reliance, knowing that we have the ability to handle whatever life throws at us. So a key component of transitions is uncertainty. Uncertainty can lead to stress, but embracing uncertainty is part of what helps us grow. Learning to let go of the need for control and trusting the process can be such a huge transformative experience. So now we go to the Bible, the favorite part of the episodes for me, just looking at biblical insights on navigating life transitions. God called several people to step into new seasons of life, often with very little understanding of what the future held. These stories provide valuable lessons about faith, about trust, and about resilience, exactly what we are talking about now. So now, before I open, we talk about this book. My tongue doesn't always want to cooperate with me. There's this Bible book that for the life of me, I just cannot enunciate. I struggle. So that is the book of Ecclesiastes, that one, chapter 3:1-8, where it talks about a time for everything. It then proceeds to list these different times and seasons. The passage or the chapter really reminds us that there is a season for everything in life. It acknowledges that change is a natural part of life and that every season has its purpose. It really does. It has a purpose. So you must always inquire of the Holy Spirit. Always ask God to show you what the purpose was so that you don't find yourself in the seasons, but you don't get to see what the point was, you know? So it means that whenever we find ourselves in the midst of a transition, it can be helpful to remember that change is not only inevitable, but also very necessary. There is a reason for every season, even if we are not able to see it right away. So by looking at it this way, we can bring peace and reassurance during uncertain times. So another book, Proverbs 3:5-6, shows us that we don't have to figure everything out on our own and that we must place our trust in God, okay? The passage reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Mm-hmm. This episode is too long. I'll skip other areas. But that is another verse. Then the third verse, among the many others, is Isaiah 43:19, where God says, "I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." This one is very straightforward. Transitions are often the beginning of something new, obviously. Even when we feel like we are in the wilderness, God is busy doing something behind the scenes. He's creating a new pathway. He is creating new opportunities opportunities for us where we thought doors were closed, and he is redirecting us to paths where we should be walking, because he is a God who's working behind the scenes. So Tina Vele, we are just highly favored by God. Now, the last section of the podcast today involves practical solutions of how I don't want to be sitting here and telling you how to do it or what to do, I think, on this episode, because I'm still learning myself. But some of the things that I've been doing, that I find that they are helping me to accept and embrace this transitions, are firstly to acknowledge my feelings. I spoke about acknowledging my feelings. It is important to know what I am feeling, whether it is feelings of excitement, whether I'm scared, sad, or uncertain. It's important to validate those feelings. For example, if you are starting a new business and you have been dreaming about this business for the longest of time, you might feel a mix of feelings, a mix of excitement and anxiety at the same time. So allow yourself to feel both. Do not try to forcefully remove one feeling and remain with the other. It is okay to feel, to have both feelings simultaneously, and accept them, acknowledge them. Then pray a lot about your emotions and your feelings. Talk to God a lot about them and your community, people that you trust, you know. Number two, I focus on what I try. Let me say that. I try to only focus on what I can control. And I'm still learning this practice, because God is helping me. I am trying to let go of things I'm not able to control. I am so much better at letting things be now than where I was some time ago. So while there are always aspects of a particular situation that we can influence, we must accept that there are other areas where we just cannot control. So identify what these things are, the things within your control, and take small steps toward managing them. Another example, if you are transitioning to a new role at work, for example, focus on what you can control. That is, or that may include things like learning a new skill, building new relationships with a new set of colleagues that you are now working with, managing and organizing your schedule accordingly. These are small steps that you can take that can help you feel more empowered, more in charge, and less overwhelmed. Another one, it is having a support system. I did give my support system a shout out, because they deserve a shout out again and again and again, because they're just the best. So I decided a long time ago that I'm not going to do this life alone. I will do it with my community. We don't have to navigate transitions alone. So I lean on my community for support, whether as family, friends, or faith community. Okay, but I have to say that I don't have many friends. I've never been able to have too many friends at the same time. I'm the one friend at the time type of a person, two friends at time, but my siblings are my bestest friends. But outside of that, it's like, it's not a lot of friends at the same time. I'm just not good with that. It's overwhelming for me. But anyway, for example, I relied on the support of my family when I had my baby. I had to leave my home to go stay with my mom for about 2 weeks, so that after birth, so that she can take care of the baby and me while I deal. Okay, I needed to deal with this change. I needed to deal with all these feelings and everything. So I needed my mom. And so I went to her for like 2 weeks. While I was there, my mother-in-law also called and told me that she also wants to take leave so that she can spend some time with us, even if it's just 1 week. So I said, yeah, sure, I'll come. After I left my mom 2 weeks later, I then went straight to her, my mother-in-law, and she took care of me and the baby. By the time I went back to my home, it was about almost 4 weeks later. So that is the power of community and a support system. You need to have a support system. Another one is that you may need to start a new or create a new routine, because transitions often disrupt our routines. So creating new routines can be useful. New routines, even small ones, can create some sense of stability. The new routine can include the morning prayer if you didn't do it before, exercise, drinking coffee or drinking water in the morning before you start even with your day. These small routines give you structure to your day and make the transitions more, more smoother. So the big one for me is always trusting God's timing, or learning to trust God's timing. This one is also very hard. I must say, this one is hard. It is linked to that one about control. Trusting in God's timing helps you release control and find peace. It is God who gives us peace. So ask for it. Talk to God about things that are bothering you. Like I said, it is not as easy as ABC, but we need to have this peace, knowing that God's plan is perfect, even when it doesn't make sense to us. So it is like when we lose people we love, we go through this pain of being confused, angry, frustrated, because we cannot change the situation. We are not going to see these people again. We have lost them. So it's just one of those transitions where it is truly hard. We learn to accept that it is done and God allowed it, and that it's always for the good of those who love the Lord and who have been called according to his purpose. So we need to learn and to rest in God and trust his timing, that it was for the good. And then practicing gratitude, always practice gratitude. Sticking with the previous example of loss, it's easy to focus on what you are losing or the person you are losing. But trying to shift your perspective to gratitude can change how you experience the transition itself. I do this by focusing on what I am thankful for, even in the midst of uncertainty. Looking at the time you spent with these people, the memories made, the lessons learned, etc., and how you will carry this into your future. Another one, we said transitions are moments of growth. So embracing the learning process, even the difficult ones, each one teaches us something valuable. Whether you are learning patience or new skills or resilience, you always learn something. And this allows you to grow through them rather than simply surviving them. So I feel like I've been talking for the past hour, even though it hasn't been an hour. So another one, I think this is the last one for now. Seeking guidance through prayer and scripture. Staying connected to God, it is essential. Spend time reading the Bible to gain clarity and peace. Ask God for strength, wisdom, and discernment, knowing that he will provide what you need to navigate the uncertainty. If you don't know where to start, start by going back to the Bible verses that we mentioned earlier in the Bible section. I think that's all I'm going to say on that. Lastly, in conclusion of the entire podcast, transitions are part of life. They challenge us, and oh God, they stretch us. They stretch us, but they are beautiful because they also offer us opportunities for growth, renewal, and deeper connection with ourselves and with God. So whether you are going through a personal or a spiritual or any kind of transition, know that you don't have to navigate it alone. You have practical tools at your disposal, and they involve your community, a supportive community. They involve God, they involve the Bible, they involve any other tools that you can use to help you do this thing of transitioning better. God walks with you every step of the way. So he's going to walk with you even during that transition. Allow him. Now, as you move through whatever season of life you are currently finding yourself, take the time to reacquaint yourself with who you are becoming, because it changes you. Understand that this transition is part of a greater plan for your life, part of the bigger picture. That's all from me. Thank you once more for joining me on today's episode of Self-Reacquaintance. I hope you have gained valuable insights. Be sure to tune in next time, and don't forget to share this episode with anyone who might need encouragement during their own transition. Until then, goodbye and God bless.